just two guys slinging some bull.
I'm back.
It's the Two Guys,
I'm
One
back.
Mic podcast.
I'm back.
On 1045theteam.com.
Get up off of that thing. And stand to do you better. Get up off of
that. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to the Two Guys, One Mic podcast right here on 1045theteam.com. My name is Joe Bianchino, and I will serve as your host extraordinaire for these proceedings for the foreseeable future. Proceedings, by the way, which we hope to be just this kind of really fun, really entertaining, sometimes enlightening thing.
Always enlightening.
Always. All right. Brick says always enlightening. So
it's a saucy intro you put together there,
isn't
Joby.
It?
I like
some,
that.
You gotta, if James Brown doesn't bring you to the party, I don't know what else can. So we'll be talking a lot of sports. We'll be talking, you know, whatever else comes to our minds. And each Thursday I'll be joined by someone from the 104.5 lineup, if you will, if you'll permit me the sports metaphor. And this week I am joined by a man who needs an introduction only because we're on internet radio. And that would be a man you know as the producer of Game On with Bruce Jacobs, Mr. Pierce Bricks. Bricks, how you doing, buddy?
Good to be here. Thanks for the invite, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I guess we'll just jump into it and start off by talking about the just hefty gut punch that was the New York Rangers Game 6 last night. For anyone who reads my stuff on 1045theteam.com, shameless plug, they know I'm a big-time Ranger fan and was hoping that for once in the entire club's history, something could have just been easy. I went into Game 6 just begging for and this isn't even just a Ranger thing. This is kind of an entire my entire sport fandom thing. Can we just get an easy win ever or make anything easy?
It's unbelievable. If the Rangers can go, you know, if they're cup bound, this is playing out just kind of, you know, similar to the 07 Giants where they had to go, you know, last second interception
exactly.
by R.W. McCorders to beat the Cowboys, having to go to overtime in the frozen tundra to beat, you know, Brett Favre and the Packers.
And that's kind of, we're both Giant fans.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things. Why can't it ever be easy? Even like that Falcon game this year in the 2012.
Right.
I think it might have been only Giant fans who were thinking that with 3 minutes left, we were still going to lose
yeah,
somehow.
That one in retrospect was easy, but it didn't feel easy even when we were up, you know, 24-2 or whatever it was.
It's like all of these games, nothing can be easy. We only can win Super Bowls after we start 7-7 and everyone thinks we're dead in the water. Then, all right, you can go on, but still, you have to go through a Super Bowl losing and get some sort of miracle play.
Right. The one time it looked like it might be easy, you know, we went ahead and shot ourselves in the leg.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't mean that metaphorically.
It's just like that Super Bowl. I sat for 5 hours because, you know, you're a fan, you're a fanatic, you get involved, you get all invested, you're wound up, you're living and dying with every play. I sat for 5 hours during the Super Bowl. My legs were tired after the game. You get all jumpy, and it's just like, and that's what we were hoping for last night, to just get away from that, to have a Ranger game where we could just go in, kill the Capitals, get out in six games without having to go to a seventh game, and just be at peace for 3 days before a new series opened. But no, we got to go in, play the worst game that the Rangers have played in the playoffs. Look, I mean, entirely, just it almost looked like they just came out and went, nah. No, thanks.
It was until under a minute left, it seemed, that there was any white jerseys in front of the goalie.
And that's it, man. There was no compete. Like, when Ryan Callahan isn't getting in front of the keeper, that's a problem. And you know the Rangers are in trouble at that point. And I think that was it. Like, it was just, there have been times this season where you've watched the Rangers and you've just said, wow, they you know, it's like a Tuesday night game in Winnipeg and you know, there's like nine people watching, and I happen to be one of them, and I just kind of look and go, man, this team doesn't look like they're interested tonight. You know, it's an old thing in horse racing. You look at a horse who should win the race, and he just doesn't. You go, well, you know, horse didn't feel like running tonight.
Right, but you know, that horse is a horse. I don't think he has any idea he's competing in
exactly.
a race.
These guys knew that they were in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it looked like they just came out and went, nah, we're good.
I mean, they were ultra-conservative until the very end of the game. And that penalty kill, which you have to give credit to the Caps, that penalty kill, you know, there was some, I don't know what Lundqvist is doing, sending that puck down the ice during that penalty kill. I don't know if you recall that specific play. That sounded kind of like a bonehead move to me. But, you know, listen, the Caps played a good game. And the concern with the Capitals is this is the first year they're not supposed to do anything.
Right.
So, you know, and when you're not supposed to do anything, that's the year you don't have to worry about choking. That's the year you're going to play more free.
Yep.
Ovi was out there taking, you know, taking pucks off the body, which is not his forte. Mm-hmm. The team looks to be playing Bruce Boudreau. Is that Bordeaux?
Boudreau.
I don't speak French.
Yeah.
He looks bad right now.
Yeah.
He looks really bad.
And that's why I think there's a little bit of apprehension. That's why I think I'm developing like a tick. Somebody just mentions the New York Rangers. Because over the next 3 days, until Saturday night, and until if the Rangers are to go on and win, I'm not going to be comfortable. Because it was different when the Rangers played the Senators, and they were down 3-2 on the road, down in Game 6, down a goal in Game 6, came back, won that, won Game 6, and took Game 7 home with all the momentum. You thought, as soon as it went triple zeros in Game 6, you thought, the series is done. Rangers are going to come in. They're going to beat. Of course, they had to. You know, it had to be a one goal game, and you know, make me sweat it out. But you knew that they were just going to come into Madison Square Garden. And they were going to win Game 7. This is a totally different feeling. You still expect. I mean, yeah, the Rangers can be outplayed in a Tuesday night game in Winnipeg when they don't show up. But when it's, you know, that Saturday afternoon playing the Flyers, winner gets the, you know, winner takes the lead in the Atlantic Division. The Rangers don't not show up. If you'll permit me the double negative.
And when are permitted? And when are they, you can't, you, when you look at the Caps, what's concerning about them is, you know, if you're trying to get that demoralizing blow to the Capitals, you gave it to them
twice.
And they came back and spanked you the next game in ugly, ugly fashion. The Rangers, it was a one goal game. It was really a two goal game. You know, it was a garbage goal.
Yeah, the Rangers weren't in that game. They were never in that game. That's why it just sucked. I mean, it sucked,
it was bad. I mean,
man.
And you look at the series again. You know, three OTs, boom, Caps are going to go away. They don't go away.
No,
you steal a game, goal 6 seconds left. You know, off a terrible penalty, you win in overtime when that guy is still sitting in the box. Boom, Caps are going to go away. It's done.
And this is the New York Rangers. But if anyone isn't, you know, this is a team that took 54 years to win a Stanley Cup and only did that in, you know, by getting a 2-overtime goal in Game 7 of the Eastern Finals to get to the playoffs, or to get to the championship round, and then watching a 3-1 lead become a 3-2 lead and play 15 minutes of the third period, you know, just biting your fingernails. They've never done anything easy, and the past, since 94, has just been such a crushing disappointment. You haven't seen a Ranger team of this caliber. So that's why you thought this year was going to be different. You thought maybe they could get into the playoffs and breeze. They didn't breeze. They're not breezing. They're facing elimination. And I am just at my friggin' wit's end.
Yeah, you're using everything in the past tense, which is kind of a little premature. You thought this would be the year. And it still could be the year. But the problem seems to be, you know, there are teams that make you live on the edge of the seat. And there are teams that don't press down when they have their foot on your throats. And that's what the problem with the Rangers has been right now, is they've had their foot on the throat of the Capitals two times, and they let them off. So that's different than, listen, we make it tight, we make, you know, I'm John Franco and I'm going to put eight guys on base, but at least I'm going to get the guy out and get the save. That's living on your edge. But, you know, the Rangers here are doing more. They don't have the killer instinct as of now, and they can develop it if they come through and they win this in Game 7. Mm-hmm. That could be the thing that puts them over the edge, and they say, okay, we can do this. This is how we have to do it. This is how we have to play going forward.
And I think that's something that you've seen. That killer instinct, I think, only comes out at certain levels for the Rangers, and it comes out, you know, when it's called for. Like, you never see them, you know, win a game 6-0 when they don't, you know, when it's not called for. You never see them win a game 6-0, period. But when it's Game 7, when it's, you know, a big spot, you always see the Rangers come out and play their butts off. And I think that's what a lot of Rangers fans are going to be banking on come to Game 7. I know that's what I'm banking on. The fact that this team has been so defined by its character, by its heart, by these, like, you know, Rudy Rudiger intangibles, they're not quantifiable. You can look at the Pittsburgh Penguins and say, man, they've got three great scorers on their first three lines. You can't look at the Rangers and say they've got one great scorer right now. What you can say is that they've got 20 guys who play as hard as they can when they need to. And they didn't in Game 6, and I bet, I'm banking on they will in Game 7. But you just wonder if it's going to be enough. I mean, Braden Holtby, who's the Caps goalie, is playing well. And is the Ranger offense ever gonna show itself? Ever? Once? One time, please. Just one time.
You know, probably. You got to look at Gabby on that one. He got the garbage time goal in that game. That was a terrible shot. That was not even coming close to the net. If it doesn't happen to hit that dude in the arse,
the Rangers are they miss more shots wide than it's unbelievable. Just hit the net.
That thing was going into the crowd. That thing was taking off.
It's like, honestly, Girardi scored a big goal in Game 7 of the Ottawa series. To that point, I don't think Girardi had hit a net in the playoffs. Every shot, it's like, Dan Girardi shoots wide. No crap, it's wide. He's never hit a net! Just hit the... At this level, you think that these guys could just put the dang puck on net. And by the way, in that goal that Girardi scored, he was about a foot and a half away from the goal and hit that thing into the roof of the net. I mean, he did everything he could to miss that shot. It's just, you can't miss from there. So, all right, I got it. They're giving me agita as someone at this station.
I thought it was agita.
It's not. It's agita. It's spelled A-G-I-T-A, but it's pronounced agita if you're from the island.
Yeah, I suppose. Shouldn't be pronounced by anybody.
So, we got a couple minutes left in this first segment, and we'll look away from the disappointment of the Rangers to the disappointment of another New York team, the Knicks, who lost, what is it, by 12 last night?
Yeah, it was worse than that, though. That was a nice, you know, there was, again, garbage time points that make the game look better. That was, they gave up. It was a stagnant offense. It looked, you know, the team doesn't have any character. That's the biggest, you know, Carmelo Anthony, whether or not, and, you know, it might be just the way he looks, or, you know, he's, mm-hmm. he's kind of like early Eli Manning. Everybody didn't like, you know, his body movements, but it's more like Jay Cutler than it is Eli Manning, where he kind of looks like a disconcerned douche out there sometimes. and if you're the leader of the team, that's how you look. And even if you haven't given up, but you kind of look, you're playing nonchalantly, you got that little smug smirk going on, mm-hmm. you know, and you're making little jokes with LeBron. I don't want to see you making jokes with LeBron James at any point in that game, or for the matter after the game. I want a week. You have to hate LeBron James for a week after you lose in five to him.
Is that it? That's the over-under? A week is how long you have to hate him?
The over-under is 6.5 games. I take the over.
Let me ask you, as a Knicks fan, because I follow the NBA sparingly, I'll say.
All right.
Enough to know what's going on, but I'm not like you. Is the Knicks season a disappointment?
Yes. Yes and no. It hurts that we didn't have Lynn. You lose Shumpert. You know, you lose Amari for a game or two. You're not expected to win that series. Mm-hmm. But everybody talked about, whoa, they got a game. It was nice that we got a game, and it is nice that we got a game. But we just gave essentially two max deals to two guys to be as good or at least better, or as good or at least better.
Hmm.
As good or at least competitive with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, and people, oh, yeah, Mike Bibby playing. They had Joel Anthony playing center. Joel Anthony is the Mike Bibby of centers. He's pretty old. He's never been that good. Mike Bibby, at least in his career, had a lot more upside than Joel Anthony ever did. So it's not like there's a full team around the big three or the big, you know, two and a half. Chris Bosh, I would consider, for what he does and what Tyson Chandler does, I would consider him equally as valuable. So if you're going to go down with a whimper and be happy about a one-game win, and I know we didn't have, again, Jeremy Lin and Shump went out and we were battling some stuff and that team still needs some things, and Steve Novak is not the solution for an outside shooter because he can't create his own shot. And the thing about Steve Novak on a side tangent is he never shoots. If somebody is closing on Steve Novak,
yeah,
he'll pass the ball. Now, I don't want to get into trajectory, you know, sports science here on Two Guys, One Mic podcast, but if somebody's closing at you, they can't jump straight up. Steve Novak, little known fact, is 6'10".
He's a big guy.
Just shoot the ball over the guy.
All right, we'll take a brief second. We'll come back with more Knicks. Coincidentally, I don't think I've ever seen a team be more praised for winning one game.
One game.
One game.